He says, from what you have. And God had already richly provided for them from the Egyptians. God had already given them enough. He had already given them enough to build the sanctuary. And he says, I want you to give from what you have. God never asks us to give from what we don't have. He always asks us to give from what we have. What would God ask you to give? Why do you have a house? Around the world, people live in homes. Whether it's a little hut, or it's a big mansion, or it's a castle, or it's a manufactured home. Everywhere around the world, people live in homes. Why? If you think about it, your home is really part of your identity, isn't it? It's where you feel relaxed. It's where you nurture your loved ones and you care for them. It's where you feel safe. It's where you invite people to hang out. It's where you feast and you eat and you try to go on a diet and fail. Your home is really a part of your identity. I mean, who here has ever said, I can't wait to get home? Who here has ever said that? Yes, I can't wait to get home, or I wish I was home already. We love to be home. It's a place of comfort for us. It's a place of stability for us, and we love our homes. Your home was built for people. Did you know that? That's why you build homes. They're not meant to just sit to be vacant. They're actually meant for people. How many know that? Meant for people to live in. And you know, when we think about this mindset, like, oh, I can't wait to get home. Did you know that that's actually biblical? David wrote a psalm about the pilgrims, God's people, ascending to Jerusalem to worship God. And they would say this kind of phrase, you know, it's kind of like, I can't wait to get home. But here's what it says in Psalms 122. It says, I was glad, everyone say glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, I can't wait to get to God's house. Isn't that amazing? I can't wait to get to God's house. I want to go there because it's a place where God's people gather together. It's a place where we feel relaxed. It's a place where we feel comfortable. It's a place for people. Did you know God's house is a place for people? Have you ever wondered why churches have homes? Have you ever thought about that? Why do churches have buildings? All around the world, churches meet in places of worship. Whether they're big or little, whether they're a tiny room or a little hut in the jungle or a great big amphitheater, churches meet in homes. How many know that? All around the world, this is what happens to God's people. And whenever God's people turned their hearts throughout history, whenever God's people turned their hearts toward God, they built places of worship throughout history. In fact, today, as we kind of finish up our series, A Heart for the House, here's what I want to talk about, and that's this. A heart for the house builds the house. Everyone say builds. A heart for the house builds the house, and it takes some building of the house. We have to do this as a community. Now, I just want to say on the onset right now that today is going to be a little bit different. This is going to be a little bit different sermon than normal because we're going to do a little bit of building, if you will. We have had, since we've started Fusion Christian Church, we have lived in 10 locations. That's a lot of locations in 17 years. We've been hippity-hopping and everywhere. We've been in this building for 3 years. Now, we have about 2 years left on our original lease with the ability to possibly extend. Now, here's what's been happening. Over the past few months, the elders and I and the leaders and I, we've been praying, we've been talking, we've been discussing, and we've been talking to professionals. They are actually, right now, putting this building on the market. They're going to sell it for $5.5 million. Isn't that crazy? If you would like to write that check right now, I'll stand here and wait for it. Now, I understand that that is a crazy amount of money. I get it. California real estate is not cheap. How many know that? It's not cheap even in commercial life. Now, that is way more than we can spend, we can afford. That is way more than we want to afford at this point. But here's what the elders and I have been praying about, and here's what we've decided. We feel that it is time for us as a church to get ready. Everyone say, get ready. We need to get ready for whatever it is that God has for us in the future. I don't know. I don't want to hippity hop around for the next 10 years. Do you? No. Because I really think that church buildings function more than just for a place for us to come and worship, although that's vitally important. I believe that church buildings are also a beacon to the community, that people will see it and come and they would give their lives to Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, a man in our church named Nick was struggling with life, and he said, I need a change. And he Googles, and he finds Fusion Christian Church, and he drives by, and he sees the sign, and he comes in all nervous and sweaty, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. He ends up crazily giving his life to Jesus, gets baptized, brings his girlfriend, she gives her life to Jesus, they get married, they invite their friends, they come, they give their life to Jesus, they get baptized, and they invite their friends, and they come, and they give their life to Jesus. All because we were here. You see what I'm saying? It's more than just the Christian Love Me Club. We're on a mission. And we need to get ready. Everyone say, get ready. We need to get ready for what God has for us next. I don't know what that is. I don't know. But I know that this is true, that we serve a God who does big miracles. I don't know how he's going to provide for that, but he already knows. And so we're going to have a heart that turns toward him to get ready. God, do you want us here? I don't know. God, do you want us somewhere else? Maybe. But we're going to prepare, and I'm going to show you some scripture evidence of why we should do that. We're going to prepare for what it is that he has for us next. So our goal over the next 2 years, we have 2 years left in this lease, is we're going to set a goal to raise $1.5 million. Let me tell you why. Because if we're going to get, because banks don't like to lend money to churches. Let me just tell you that right now. If you're not familiar with that, they don't. We don't have a product. We're not selling a product. There's no assets, you know, per se, other than a few speakers and some guitars. This is it. So you have to have a large deposit to actually get approved for a loan. I didn't write the rules. I'm just telling you what the rules are. So we're going to get ready. Now, I understand that's a lot of money. Some of you, that's more money than you could possibly ever imagine. Some of you, your house is worth more than $1.5 million. So we're going to get ready for what it is that God has for us, and we're setting the goal over the next 2 years to raise $1.5 million for whatever it is that God has for us. Now, are we going to reach that goal? I sure hope so. But I'm telling you right now that the elders and I, we're giving it to the Lord. God, we're just getting ready, and we're going to put this out there. I told you this is going to be a different message. And put this out there and say, okay, God, what do you want to do? We want to prepare our hearts, want to prepare our finances, want to prepare our house for what it is that God has for you. I, last night, had the privilege of going to my home church, Living Way, and I celebrated with them 48 years of ministry. 48 years. Isn't that amazing? I'm 48 years old. That's a long time. And you know where they met? In a building. Shocking. And that's where God continued to do ministry. I was on the property where I learned to do ministry, where I cut my teeth, where I went to Bible college, where I began to get experience in ministry. I was there. And now 48 years later, you know what they're doing? They're still preaching Jesus. They're still a light to the community. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to spend a few minutes. We're going to answer this question. What does it take to get ready? Everyone say, get ready.
Get ready.
What does it take to get ready? I want us to be ready. Now, you can say whatever you want. Your heart can be turned toward whatever you want. You can have whatever opinion about this that you want. But after many meetings and many times in prayer and many conversations, we're going to get ready. And we're going to say, hey, what does it take? Now, I want to spend just a few minutes. I want to talk to you about a couple times in Scripture where God's people got ready to build the house. Okay? So that you know that what we're doing has precedence in the Word of God. The first one is the tabernacle of Moses, and the second one is the temple of Solomon.
And we're going to talk about those, and I'm going to break it down for you. What does it mean to get ready, and how did they do it, and what does it take? The first thing that it takes for us to get ready, to build the house, we must give from the heart. Everyone say from the heart. We must give from the heart. Now, let me give you a little backdrop so you understand before I read the passages. God had freed the Israelites from Egypt. They were slaves there for 430 years. How many know that's a long time? Okay. Imagine if you were stuck in the DMV for 430 years. That would maybe give you a small smidgen of an idea of what that looks like. Okay? 430 years, Moses comes through miraculous signs and wonders from the Lord, frees God's people, and they go across the Red Sea, and they get to this place called Mount Sinai, and God tells Moses, come up in the mountain, I want to talk to you. And God gives the law and gives the commands, and he says, listen, I want you to get the people ready to build my tabernacle. And here's what he said, Exodus chapter 25. He said, the Lord said, tell the Israelites, God's people, to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart, everyone say heart, whose heart prompts them to give. So right off the bat, God knows that giving is a heart issue. God knows that preparing to build the house is going to take resources, and it's going to take people whose hearts are turned toward him so that they might give to the building of the tabernacle. You guys get it? It's a heart thing, okay? And that's what we want to do. First, I say, okay, Lord, I want to give from my heart. My heart has to be in this. I know that God's house is important. I know that it's a priority. Jesus said, I will build my church, and not even hell is going to stop me. And we get to be part of that. We get to be part of it until he comes. He who is to come, Christ the Son of Man, coming on the clouds, right, with healing in his hands. When he comes on that day, you know what we're going to be? Ready. We're going to be ready because we're going to continue to fulfill the mission that God has for us, and God's people were to give from the heart. That's what God told Moses. And the other thing we need to do to prepare to build the house is we must give creatively. Everyone say creatively. Now, oftentimes, we give a tithe, and a tithe is the first portion of your income, but when we give to things like this, this is in addition to, and we say, okay, Lord, this is something that's not my tithe, that's my offering to you as in obedience, but now I'm going to give creatively. This is a free will offering, which we'll read about in a minute. It's a free will offering to the Lord, saying, God, I want to be part of the building of your house. Because let me just be honest with you right now. You can totally not like what I'm about to say, and that's okay. It doesn't offend me. But I'm telling you right now, it takes real money to do real ministry. You can hate that. You can call me greedy. You can say pastors and churches only care about the money, which is a lie from hell, by the way. Or you can say, you know what? I want my heart to be turned toward the Lord. I must figure out some creative ways to give. Here's what God told the Israelites. When God was talking to Moses, here's what he told the Israelites. He said, these are the offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair. Now, I just want to stop right now. Don't bring goat hair. All right, we don't want any goat hair. You can keep that for yourself. Let the Lord bless you. If you want to wear your goat hair, go ahead. It's all right. And we also don't want any ram skins dyed red, okay? Or any other durable leather, okay? Now, if you have a durable leather coach purse or something, okay, maybe, we could do something like that, okay? Acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incenses, onyx stone, and other gems to be mounted, and the ephod and the breastpiece. And he's basically saying, hey, listen, I want you to bring these things in. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Yeah. Have them make a sanctuary. Take all these things, have them give from the heart, have them give creatively, and then have them make a sanctuary for me. Why? So that I may dwell among them. This is just a building until God's people show up. And then it becomes the place in which God dwells. Where we come together, we worship him, we turn our hearts toward him, we focus on him, we praise him because he's so wonderful to us. How could we not give to a God who's been so giving to us? You know what I'm saying?
How could we not give to him? And we build it. God asks his church to give in a variety of ways. What creative way would God ask you to give? How do we get ready to build the house? Well, to build the house, we must give willingly from what we have. Willingly from what we have. So here's what's happening to the people of Israel. God tells Moses, come up here, I want to talk to you. And God tells Moses, listen, tell everyone who's willing, whose hearts are turned toward me, to give from the heart, and go down, tell them, these are the kind of things that I'll accept as an offering, and you have them bring them, and I want you to build the sanctuary for me, and then I'm going to dwell among them. And so Moses goes down the mountain, and then he tells the people what God said. So for months, the elders and I have been talking and praying about this, and we feel that God has put it on our heart, and we're doing basically what Moses did, and now we're telling you what God has put on our hearts. Are you with me? And he says, listen, now I want you to give from what you have. And here's what he said in Exodus 35. It says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, the whole church, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, everyone say, from what I have. Take an offering for the Lord. I want that to linger for a minute. For the Lord. Okay? Not for Pastor Zach, not for Fusion Christian Church. This is the place that you give, but you give it to the Lord. Everybody follow me? He says, for offering for the Lord, everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, no thanks, ram skins, dyed red, no thanks, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil, light spices, anointing oil for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and other gems to be mounted in the ephod and the breast pieces. He said, this is what I want you to bring from what you have. Now, can I just give you a little quick commercial so you understand a little something about the Israelites? They were slaves. They didn't even have jobs. They didn't have a bank account or Venmo. How did they make it? They couldn't order things on Amazon. They couldn't buy now and pay later. He says, from what you have. And God had already richly provided for them from the Egyptians. God had already given them enough. He had already given them enough to build the sanctuary. And he says, I want you to give from what you have. God never asks us to give from what we don't have. He always asks us to give from what we have. What would God ask you to give? What would he put on your heart so that you and I could be a light to this community and to the world? You guys, we have a global vision. This is why we're a missions-minded church. We want to reach all of Temecula and Marietta. We want to reach it all. What do we need to do to get ready? Well, to build the house, we must also give of our God-given skills. Now, there's something amazing that happens here in the tabernacle when God's talking. He says, now, I want you to provide for everything. And how did God provide for everything? From the people. The people provided, and then they brought in the skilled workers to actually build it. Watch this. In Exodus 36, it says, so Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work in constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. God had laid out. Now, there's a lot of prophetic fulfillment in this, in the tabernacle, which we don't have time to get into as far as it being a picture of the heavenly tabernacle. But right now, we're just talking about the practical aspects of it. That now there's these skilled workers. God had given skill to build the sanctuary, to build it. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. Willing. And they received from Moses
all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of construction in the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring, watch this, free will offerings morning after morning. Stop right there. They continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. I don't know if there is a more generous account of people in Scripture than this right here. That people who are freed from slavery get the call of God from their leader Moses to come and build the sanctuary, and morning after morning they bring the free will offering, not out of obligation, not out of a guilty heart, not out of making them feel, you know, weird about it, not out of Moses manipulating, but just saying, this is what God wants to do. Will you be part of it? And morning after morning they bring a free will offering to the Lord. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I will tell you right now, oftentimes our American mindset fights against that. Because our American mindset often says, I need more for me. These were slaves. Meditate on that this week. Think about it. So watch this. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work of the sanctuary, watch what happens because the people were giving. Left what they were doing. So they were working on it. They're building the sanctuary. They're working on it. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave the order and they sent word to all the camp, no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. Watch this. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. They were slaves. And now Moses has to say, stop being so generous. I know a lot of pastors, and I've been in ministry for a fair share of time, and I've never heard anybody have to say that. Do you know what pastors tell me? I don't know how we're going to make it. Yeah. People don't give. Yeah. I'm just telling you the raw truth. This is raw. Yeah. Do you know how much angst and wrestling and spiritual battle I've had over the past several weeks just knowing I'm going to preach this message to you? Because our greed is so powerful. And when I speak it, the enemy uses it as a tool to cause disunity among his people. And so I give you the example of Scripture so that you might see that these things were written for us so that through the teachings of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We must use our skill and recognize that when we start turning our heart toward the Lord, when we start being part of what God's doing, God provides through his people. The only thing that matters in this life is Jesus. That's it. Not your career, not your house, nothing but Jesus. It's the only thing that matters. How do we prepare to build the house? We must give as an example to others. Just give an example to others. Now, I'm going to shift gears here. Now we're going to look for just a couple minutes at the temple of Solomon. Let me give you a background. David was a warrior. The Bible says that David was the man after God's own heart. He's the one who slew Goliath. He was a valiant warrior. In fact, he had some of the roughest, toughest guys in history following him. They were called his mighty men. I mean, they were like killing lions and 800 men at a time, and you guys think you're tough because you take MMA. These guys were killers. And he wanted to build the temple for the Lord, so a place for people to come and worship God. And God says, no, you shed too much blood, so I want your son Solomon to do it because he'll be a man of peace. And so David, in all of his wisdom, he prepares, he says, okay, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready for my son Solomon to build the temple. And we do this as an example. I'm going to show you David's example in a minute. You know, just not too long ago, about a couple months ago, we were in Peru. We took a team to Peru, and we were in the Iquitos, all right, which is a very, very rundown city in Peru. It's a dive. And I was with a pastor and his wife. We were having dinner one night, and they were talking about their church, and they have a small Peruvian church of a couple hundred people, and they were saying, hey, God, really, we grew so fast we needed to have another building, and so we decided we were going to raise some funds. And I knew this conversation of the building was coming up. I knew all this was happening because we've been in conversations and talks and prayers for months. And I'm like, okay, so what'd you guys do? So we put it before the people that we needed to raise about $300,000. Now, I want you to understand, these guys live on soles, like a few soles a day. And that little tiny church in the jungle of Iquitos raised it all. And their generosity was an example to me, was an encouragement to me that God can do it. If God can move on the hearts of the people, God can do it. And I do believe that. Watch what David did when he was getting ready. It says, then King David turned to the entire assembly. He knows this is going to happen, and he's about ready to hand everything over to Solomon. He says, and Solomon's his son. He's going to be the heir to the throne. He says, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. Watch this. It is for the Lord himself. Who's it for? Lord. The Lord. It's for the Lord. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for the building of the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stones and marble. Stop right there. You notice how David has now kind of progressed from goat's hair. Okay? He's kind of moving on a little bit. You got new materials, all right? He says, and now because of my devotion, everyone say my devotion. Because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving, watch this, here's the example. I'm giving all of my own private treasures. I'm giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. Now I'm being generous. This is what David says. I'm not just doing this king. All my savings, I tapped into it here. I'm giving it to the temple. He says, I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for the overlaying of the walls and the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. There's the skilled workers again. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? David's giving his example. He says, who's going to follow my example? Watch this. Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officials all gave what? Willingly. They all gave willingly. Not begrudgingly, not with a bad attitude, not with just this heartling, oh, I'm going to do this thing, but just like, okay, we want to be part of this thing that God's doing. We want to be part of what he's doing because I don't want to miss out on God building his church. I want to be part of it. I understand that this is a big vision thing. I get it. But I know we serve a big God. Amen. Who can do it? A big God who can do it. Now, as you think about giving his example to others, we also know that the real foundation stone is this. To build the house, we give to the Lord. Who do we give to? The Lord. And that's important because watch what happens next in the building of the temple of Solomon. It says, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely, everyone say freely, and what? Wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. The king was talking to them, but they weren't given to the king.
They knew that they were giving toward the building of the temple, but they were ultimately giving to the Lord. When we say, hey, we're going to set a goal to raise $1.5 million for whatever it is that God has for us down the road, because California real estate is stupid expensive. I didn't make the rules, but I'm just telling you. When we give, we're giving to the Lord. Why? Because the best is yet to come. And we want to be part of that. We want to be part of that. And that's why we really need God to build the house. Because Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. We need God to do it. And you know how God does it? Through his people. Several months ago, now I'm just telling you, this has been, gosh, 4 months, I don't know, we've been talking about this, getting nods from the elders, making sure I'm right. Before that, I was standing right over there, and it was after men's breakfast. Now, I'm not a big dreams guy, all right? The Bible does say in the end, you know, that people will dream dreams, and I get it. God can reveal himself through dreams, but I also know that dreams are sometimes a bad Mexican restaurant from the night before. All right? It's just what it was. You know, you had some bad Chinese food, and you're like, dream, well, I'm never eating there again. A Kung Pao chicken compounded my dreams. I don't know. But I also know that some things we take and we say, okay, God, if this is from you, I receive it. If it's not, then I don't want it. I'm standing right over there. I'm talking to 3 men in our church, and all of them are great, solid guys. And the one guy says to me, hey, Pastor, I had a dream about the church. I said, you did? I don't even dream about you guys. He says, Pastor, I had a dream about the church. I said, you did? He goes, yeah. He goes, we were in a building, but not this one. And he says, and it was packed to the wall, standing room only. And I said, oh, okay. Now, again, I take these things with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, now, your dreams are not the word of God to me, all right? So don't come to me. I had a dream too. I'm going to win $1 million. I hope it comes true. The guy, there's four of us talking. The guy standing next to him says, hey, Pastor, I had a dream about the church. I said, you did? And now I'm like, this is kind of weird. He says, I had a dream that we were in another building on the other side of town, and we had a building there that we built, and it was packed room, standing room only. I'm like, oh. The guy standing next to him says, Pastor, I had a dream about the church. And now I'm like, okay, you guys are weird. And I said, you had a dream? He goes, yeah. He goes, I had a dream that had a whole barbecue, and it was just packed. We were having all this food, and we were having this great event, and it was packed wall to wall, all these people. Now, I tell you this because I'm not basing this whole plan on these three guys' dreams, okay? Because I think they all did have Chinese the night before. But what I'm saying is, I can't ignore the continued confirmation from what it is through the prayer, through the conversations, through the encouragement of the leaders, through the planning, through just what God's put on my heart, through this, you know, I mean, 25 years of ministry, that's happened to me one time. That three guys in sequence would tell me that they all had dreams about the church, right, bam, 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 in one conversation. Now that's, I can't totally toss that out, you know what I'm saying? Right. I just know, whatever it is that God has for us in the future, that we need to get ready. Yeah. And I'm asking you, as your pastor, to get ready with me. I'm asking you to be generous and to give. To say, okay, God, I'm sowing seed not in this world, but in heaven. Storing my treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. Because I do believe that God is not done with Fusion Christian Church. So here we go. If your life has been changed by this church in any way, I want you to stand on your feet right now. God's in the business of life change. And he uses places of worship as a conduit, as a beacon, as a lighthouse
to people who were living in darkness. And I want to be part of that. And that's where I'm leading us.